Shalom, shalom. Shabbat morning davening in Chutz Laaretz can take a long time. The truth is that it's long even in Israel. And the time that you feel it most is probably when you're not actively davening, but trying to listen to the Torah reading. And there's that moment, though, which comes around only four times a year when everybody perks up. And that's when we reach the Shalshelet. And suddenly everyone's like, "Oh, we just got a shalshelet! Oh yeah, great!" What are those four times when we have a shalshelet? So the first time we have it when Lot leaves Sdom, and there's different explanations about why there does it appear, but we'll get to that. The second time is when Eliezer is looking for a wife for Yitzchak. The third time is when Yosef refuses to be with Potiphar's wife. And the fourth time is, of course, in our parsha in Shishi, we see that it says Vayishchat. It's in Perek Chet, Pasuk Chaf Gimel. It says Vayishchat, Vayikach Moshe Midamo. It's talking about Moshe who's doing Shchita. This is the last piece to passing over the baton, so to speak, of becoming the of being the Kohen and doing the Avoda in the Mishkan. So until now, Moshe has been doing it, and now he's passing that on to Aaron. So many explain that the Shalshelet, the trap of the Shalshelet, represents some kind of hesitation or inner conflict or reluctance. So when it comes to Lot, that he when he was leaving Sdom, so he was hesitant to leave Sdom. Different explanations why, either because he was reluctant to leave what he had there behind, or he was reluctant. He thought maybe they would do tshuva, depending on which way you want to look at it. There's a number of other explanations, but there was some kind of a hesitancy with Eliezer when he's looking for a wife for Yitzchak. So it says that Eliezer really was hoping that his own daughter would marry Yitzchak, and so he was a little bit hesitant to go look for a wife for Yitzchak when he really wanted it to be for himself. With Yosef and Eshet Potiphar, so there was he was struggling. He was struggling not to give in, which he ultimately does not, but he was struggling, and that's what the Shalshelet is. And the fourth time in our parsha, what was the hesitation? Moshe was about to bring basically his last korban. He was about to give over the reins to his brother Aaron, and this was his last chance. So he was sort of hesitating before he passed that on. This fits with the way that we read it, as the way Ashkenazim read Shalshelet. The Sfardim don't have the same chop, but either way, let's look a little bit more carefully at our case for a second. It doesn't seem to make so much sense to say that Moshe was hesitant. Why was he hesitant to hand over the reins? Was he suddenly hesitant to listen to a direct command from a Kadosh Baruch Hu? Don't forget, when Moshe was first told of his mission to lead the Jews out of Egypt, he was worried about how his brother would react. And we find the Pasuk tells us that Aaron was not only not upset, but he was happy for Moshe. And now Moshe should be hesitant? This is the same Moshe that we consider an Anav Mikol Adam, that he's more humble than every person. What's the hesitation in Moshe in this parsha? So it could be that there's another possible way to look at Shalshelet. Rabbi Min Goldsmith suggests that the word shalshelet comes from the word the shalshel, which in the Gemara and the Mishnah they use in the context of bringing down or to cause to bring down. There the context of unrolling a hem or causing water to flow down, but that's the idea. It's to bring down or cause to bring down. And this is actually where we get this term, shalshelet misara, this unbroken chain, bringing the Torah down from one generation to the next. We're continuing that misara. And maybe that's also what it means here. There's an intense realization of the responsibility to pass down the Masorah or the family name or the family history. So, looking at the examples that we said before, we have Lot, who was concerned with his family when he left Sdom. Look at what he does with his daughters ultimately. So he was worried about the continuation of that Shalshelet of his family. Eliezer, of course, there's an intense responsibility for the preservation of the family of Yitzchak. So that was a piece of it there. Even when it comes to Potiphar's wife, so Rashi brings down the Midrash that Potiphar wanted to be with Yosef, and it says he wouldn't lie with her. That means in this world, and not to be with her in the world to come. That he was struggling with really his place in the Masorah. He would have basically foregone that place in being part of that Masorah. And maybe it's the same thing that's in our case. that Moshe was intensely aware that he's about to pass over the Avodat Kohanim forever. This is the moment where literally for the rest of eternity, the Kohanim are now going to be the ones to always do the Avodah in the Beit HaMikdash and in the Mishkan. And so that moment of Shalshelet, of that passing over of the Mesorah, is what he's experiencing now. This year, I think many people are concerned about this very issue, the Shalshelet HaMesorah. For many people, they're not going to be celebrating Pesach or the Pesach Seder the regular way. They're going to be by themselves, or at least they're not going to be with their, extended family. They won't have their grandparents with them, their siblings, their cousins, their children, etc. And that's a big struggle for a lot of people. But the truth of the matter is that we will have them with us. Pesach is, Seder is one of the most universally kept mitzvot among the Jews, religious, non-religious alike. I forgot the statistic. It's one of the 80, 90%, something like that, of Jews have some kind of a Seder. And even if, like, the last time you may have been at your parents' Seder was 20, 30 years ago, you're probably still singing the same tunes. You're probably telling the same jokes and saying the same Divrei Torah. Speaking of remembering Pesach Divrei Torah from many years ago, the last time I was at a Seder that my father ran was years ago when I was in high school, I think, maybe a few years afterwards. And I still remember one of those Divrei Torah. He said, "Why are people so crazy with their minhagim on Pesach? Everyone has this minhag, that minhag. They're so makpid, this minhag." So the Midrash says that by what merit did the Jews get out of Mitzrayim? And it answers that they kept three things. They kept their language, their clothes, and their names. But those aren't mitzvot. Those are minhagim. So my father used to say that if the merit for us to get out of Mitzrayim was because of customs, because of minhagim, then we have to be makpid and maintain those customs on Pesach. I think back now to last year. I had my brother over for our Seder, and one of the best parts of having there of the best parts about having him there was how we both knew the same tunes that my father was saying, and the same jokes, and the same customs, and it just made everything easier, more fun, more meaningful, because it connected us to the rest of their family, even if they weren't physically with us. So even though I sadly won't be going to shul again this Shabbat Hagadol, I will read the parsha like I've done the past few weeks from the Tikkun, and I had my son Simcha give me the hand signals on the side. And when I get to the Shalshelet, I'll think about what I have received from my parents and my teachers. I'll think about my place in that chain, and I'll think about how and what I'm doing to pass on that Mesorah to my kids and to my students. And that's just something that we can think about when we get to the Shalshelet. Hopefully, we'll end up somehow miraculously in shul. But if not, then you should read it at home, and you get to the Shalshelet and think, what is your place in that Shalshelet Mesorah? Come to think of it, I probably should teach my son the hand signal for Shalshelet. Shabbat Shalom.